Amen. Simplest of scriptures. You may be seated after my reading of this scripture. Simon says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders." Now you may be seated. You know, as time goes by, I see these children, and I tell you, just touch my heart. Just to see the enthusiasm, the brightness within their eyes, the joy that they're having actually performing, and what they don't realize is that it's teaching them a skill. Later on in life, they'll be able to stand before others and express themselves, all because they learned it here on a stage. Amen. And I was talking to Elder Lester, and he says, "Man, this is my favorite time of year," because he's looking at it through the eyes of a child. And he just sees the joy that they have. And I see it as well, even in my granddaughters now. I see it. Like with my youngest granddaughter, she looks at the presents and she says, "All of these are mine." That's what she says. And she's making it clear right off the bat, they're all mine. All right? And I'm just thinking, you know, as I said, time is ticking by. And I was watching this documentary. I think it was one of the Liam brothers. Helmworth brothers. Not Liam, but the other one. I think it's Chris. Chris Helmworth. Yeah. And he's trying to chase down Father Time. You know, he's going through all of these methods of trying to get, the best or the maximum out of his life. He's trying to, don't necessarily say stay younger, but just he's trying to get the max out of the quality of life, if you will. And he said a statement that stuck with me. And the reason why it stuck with me is because I was putting a snowblower together. And it's interesting that a snowblower will make you feel like you've worked out. And I'm so sore after putting that thing together, because I had to get on the ground and I had to, get in different positions and everything else, and just to like put screws in, and the next day I couldn't hardly move. And I went back to what he said, and he says, "We don't move because we get old. We get old because we don't move." And I was like, yeah, I need to move more. I need to move more. But just trying to chase, as I stated, that quality of life. I want to read to you all one of the most important things that I've read, and you've all heard it before. And I hope you listen intently as I read it. It says, "The gospel is the good news. The good news about what our triune God has graciously accomplished for his people. The Father sending the Son, Jesus Christ. The Father sending the Son, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, to live perfectly, fulfill the law, and die sacrificially, atoning for our sins, satisfying God's wrath against us so that we might not face an eternal hell, and raising Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And that gospel, it says in Romans, is the power of God. It's the power of God. In other words, God sends us forth with a powerful script for this world. I was at the mall yesterday. My family drugged me out there. It was a madhouse. Crazy. My oldest granddaughter said to me, she said, "We can't even hardly walk out here because there's so many folks." But they, like all the kids today, they had that brightness in their eyes, and you can just feel the excitement of the season. And you saw all of these like shopping bags in people's hands, and they were going about, and when they were talking to whoever they were at the mall with, they had this excitement there in their eyes and their voice. Everybody was in this awesome built-up mood, and in the background you heard "Silent Night, Holy Night." You heard all these Christmas carols way in the background. Then all of a sudden, when you go to another part of the mall, you heard actual carolers just out there singing. But what they were singing about, folks weren't paying attention to it. They weren't paying attention to it. They were just busy shopping and everything else. And then every now and then, all throughout the excitement, you heard, just cracking through it, you heard a Jesus. You heard Jesus. And as I sat down for one moment, and then all, like I said, the noise, the shouting and everything else, you heard the carolers in the background singing about Jesus, about the real reason for the season. But it was so faint, so in the background. How do we get folks to see the real reason? How do we do it? How can you, with all that excitement, with all that buildup, with all the mania that was going on, how can you tell these people, how can you convince them that they need deliverance? That they need a savior? That they need this gospel? Do you think in that type of state that folks will pause and listen to you to say, "Hey, you're in danger. You're in trouble. You need Jesus"? Way back in Isaiah, like the Sunday school lesson today, these folks were facing a serious dilemma. The Assyrians were on them, and they were about to just get like pounced at one point. Then all of a sudden they were in captivity. When you keep following the history, you see that they were under oppression. And they were under such oppression that they could not help themselves. They needed deliverance. They needed deliverance. And how was God going to deliver them? Was he going to send like this massive army of angels? Was he going to send like a bunch of bazookas and planes and everything else to get them and like just say, "Okay, come on, you all, I'm going to rescue the nation through a nuclear bomb"? No, he said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the most powerful thing. I'm going to send a baby. I'm going to send a baby. But this is not going to be an ordinary baby. This is not going to be an ordinary child. It's going to be my son. It's going to be my son, Jesus Christ. You know, how can you convince someone that feels that they don't need any saving? They don't need salvation. They don't need a savior. How can they be impressed with the fact that a child will save them? That this savior will come just to die and not rescue me out of my situation, my physical, my material situation? You know, he's just going to come and die for my sins? Paul said it sounds like foolishness to some. But to those who know him, it's the glorious message of the gospel. Because just like the Israelites who could not save themselves out of a physical situation, you can't save yourself out of a spiritual situation. And he had to provide that way for you. Tertullian said this: you think as you see, and you see only what your eyes let you see. You become your own Bible. You become your own commentary. And eventually you become your own God. And that sends you right to hell. Why? Because it sets you up to reject the true God. We present to you today through songs, skits, through recitations, we send a message to you that Jesus truly is the reason for the season. How can we convince you that he is your savior? How can we convince you that today you should accept him? What magical formula can I come up with in words to convince you that you need a savior? When you're seeing what you only want to see, how can I convince you? They say that Easter and Christmas, they're the most popular times that folks will come to church. And here's an opportunity that we kind of like pounce on here. Because if we're only going to get you twice a year, I'm trying to convince you now that you need a Savior. But you need a savior. What can I do? What can I say to have you stop seeing what you only want to see and believe in what you only want to believe? The only thing that I can say that has guaranteed power in it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news. The good news about what our triune God has graciously accomplished for his people. The Father's sending the Son, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, to live perfectly, fulfill the law, and die sacrificially, atoning for our sins, satisfying God's wrath against us that we might not face an eternal hell. then raising him, Jesus, from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power. That's the gospel. And I pray that today you will pause for a moment, take your own blinders off, and see what the Lord is trying to tell you. If he's speaking to your heart at all, I pray that you pause. Don't let this moment pass you by. And if you consider it foolishness, then consider it foolishness that's worth investigating. Check it out. See how stupid it is. I double dog dare you. Give it a chance and see how it see what it's really about. I dare you. Take the blinders off and see him for who he really is. And what you will see is a plan that will blow your mind. Jesus, choose ye this day who you will serve. And I pray that you will not let this moment pass you by. I pray that you will not slip away and go out those doors again and try to live life as you've lived. I pray that a moment of change will come about you now, and you will say, I want to check this out for myself. I want to see what this reason for the season is all about. Choose you this day. Don't let this moment pass you by. And the word says this, and I say it each week. The word truly speaks this, that one day you will stand before the Lord and you will have to give account of your life. All the good and the bad you've done. But it's going to boil down to one question. What did you do with Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? Did you accept him or did you reject him? Listen, don't let him that day come and damn you and your God. Choose you this day. Choose you this day. Amen. After dismissal, we'll have elders available here in the front of the church to pray with you, to, you know, if you want to start your investigation at that time. We'll pause and take a moment to discuss things with you. Most importantly, please don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. I thank Mom Brenda for this program on today. Thank all the children. I'll tell you, everything was really nice. It was really nice. And, you know, I was just cracking a smile, and I said, man, I want to approach my preaching and teaching and everything else with the enthusiasm that Senator has up there. I mean, that brother is up there dancing. He's the reason. Yeah, I want to do that, Senator. I want to be like you. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas. I'm going to have Elder Watkins come up here and just pray us out.